It is time, ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Friday, time for the legislative update. I'd like to welcome Linda Siegel. Welcome, Linda.
Good morning, Mayor Charlotte.
So, how much time do we have left in this legislature?
6 days left. We end next Thursday at noon, and everyone will be so happy to leave. But we hear there may be a special session.
Oh, no. Why?
Oh, the budget.
So the budget is the big bad news.
It is.
What's going on?
Well, shockingly enough, everyone seems surprised that the impact is so great from the lack of oil and natural gas revenue. And it's just come to everyone's attention, apparently, in the last week or so, that we may be as much as $800 million in the hole, that we may be needing as much as $800 million to get through this fiscal year and into the next fiscal year.
That's a lot of money.
It's pretty shocking. And it's mostly attributable to the rapid decline of gas and oil, natural gas and oil prices. But also our other revenues are down. Gross receipts are down. Corporate income tax is down. The only thing that's up a little bit is personal income tax.
So one of the things that I was going to ask you whether it had been on the agenda was, I mean, the price of gas per gallon when we fill our cars has gone down so much. Have they thought of putting like a temporary tax per gallon?
Well, that is so interesting because yesterday, Aubrey Dunn, who is our land commissioner, so he is the person, the land commissioner is the person who's in charge and receives all of the revenues from gas and oil. We have leases and then the revenue from production. And he is the one actually who said that we are as in a deep as hole as we are. But his idea, and he's a Republican, remember this, he said a 1 cent gas tax would give us, for every 1 cent, $13.8 million. So why not do a temporary gas tax of enough money to help us get out of this hole? But of course, taxes are off the table as far as the governor is concerned.
1 cent tax is too much? Well, ordinary working people will suffer?
Well, especially since in Albuquerque, I don't know about Santa Fe since I buy diesel, but regular gas is $1.29 a gallon.
Is that what it's down to now?
In Albuquerque, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So a 20-cent tax would not real. I mean, we're
my car, that'd be 10 cents for a fill-up.
Yeah, so it could really help us get out of the hole, but unfortunately, that's not going to happen. But it is so interesting that a high-level Republican is saying, you know, we're in such a deep hole, maybe we need to do this at least temporarily.
So that is one solution. What other solutions are being proposed?
We have the deficit within the current fiscal year, and here we are mid-February, so we've only got 4 months left, and there's somewhere, I mean, the numbers are all moving around, but somewhere over $100 million, maybe as much as $160 million that we need to shore up the budget in this fiscal year. So they're looking again. When we talked last week, the House had raided a lot of the cash balances of licensing boards and gone in and taken out the tobacco settlement permanent fund allocation and looked for every kind of fund that they could take money out of, but they didn't do it from all of them. So the Senate Finance Committee is looking at these other cash balances and seeing how much more we might be able to get. One of the senators I talked to yesterday said that he's found about $80 million, which, you know, depending on whether...
What, did he find Forrest Fenn's box?
Oh, we wish. So the Senate Finance Committee is going to be working through the weekend, looking at the budget, seeing where we're going to cut for next fiscal year, looking at where we're going to get one-time only cash to shore up this fiscal year, which ends June 30th, and we'll go from there. But if there isn't any cash just laying around or there isn't enough of that, then we're looking at cuts even in this fiscal year, which is rather draconian when you consider we only have 4 months left and the budget won't be done till it won't pass until the 18th of February, probably go to the governor. Governor has 20 days. So it's very problematic if we can't find one-time only money and reserve money to shore up this fiscal year. But then we're looking at the problem of $600 million or so that we need to cut out of the budget in the next fiscal year. And that's why legislators are talking about a special session. And, you know, a special session in an election year is not really popular with people.
Why not?
Well, because people are running for office. And during the period of the legislative session, if you are campaigning and you are a legislative candidate, you can't raise money.
So here's the big irony of that. Special sessions cost a lot of money.
Plus, they cost $50,000 to $100,000 a day because of all the staff. Now, special sessions are much cheaper because you have skeleton staff, so maybe $50,000 a day.
Well, we could cut back on the special session and save some money.
There you go. So, it is really a crisis,
yeah.
And I think that we're looking at here at the community college, we're already looking, okay, we know we're going to get cut in the next fiscal year. What are we going to do? Public schools have to do the same thing. The health department, the human services department, Medicaid, public service, I mean, everything. With a $600 million deficit, we're looking at major cuts because if we have a $6 billion budget, $600 million, 10%.
That's unbelievable. But, okay, ladies and gentlemen, I know that taxes are off the table, but why don't they just put them on the table? Because, I mean, gas prices are so low, you raise them up a little bit. They always seem to be fine about raising taxes on, what are they called, sin taxes, alcohol and cigarettes and things like that.
Well, unfortunately, those aren't on the table. One of my clients, the American Cancer Society, the Cancer Action Network, had a $33 million tobacco tax bill. Increased taxes on cigarettes, chewing tobacco, other tobacco products, e-cigarettes, which don't even have a tax. But those bills are dying in committee because we're unwilling to raise any kind of taxes. Now, Senator Smith, the chair of the Finance Committee, has proposed a bill that would suspend that big corporate tax cut that we gave in 2014. But it's, you know, nobody's going to vote for it. So there's going to be no increase in taxes, and we're going to be looking at cutting deeply into education and health and social services and Medicaid and everything because there's no choice.
Has anybody done the math on what happens when you cut those things, which are essentially investments in New Mexicans? When you cut those investments, what happens to the price of doing business 2 years down the line, when people are sicker, when people are less educated, when there's more mental illness on the street?
Well, we don't really look at the future health and social costs, but we do know from when we cut the budget by almost $1 billion during the recession that the impact that had on other businesses, because when you have people's jobs who are cut, nonprofits, the people that deliver health and social services in this state, they laid off people. Those people don't have jobs. Those people aren't buying things.
Yeah.
It has a huge impact on the economy as a whole. When we would take out $600 million in the next fiscal year. So just forget the future health care costs and social costs. The immediate costs are dramatic.
So that's the budget. Let's talk about bills. There are a couple of bills and constitutional amendments that are being considered.
Yes, there are really, I think, there are a lot of constitutional amendments. There are about 20 or 25 in both the House and the Senate. But there are three that are hot issues, I think, for the general public and their bills that their constitutional amendments, a couple of them are actually moving. The one that we've heard a lot about is the constitutional amendment to change the system for the courts so that they can, so judges can hold people without bail who have committed terrible crimes and have, you know, long records of violent crimes. Right now, the law we have says you've got to bail people out. And this constitutional amendment would say judges can use their discretion and they can look at, you know, the crime, alleged crime committed, and the person's background and hold them without bail. And attached to that is also, attached to that constitutional amendment is a piece that says if you're poor and you can't bail out and it's a nonviolent crime and you don't have a long record, then the judge can say, okay, I'm going to let you out on your own recognizance and you don't have to pay for a bail.
So right now, the way the law reads, can the judge has the discretion to set the bail amount, but the judge cannot say we're holding you without bail, period?
Well, under some circumstances, yes, but that's the whole issue around those crimes in Albuquerque where judges were unable to keep people charged with very violent crimes in jail because they didn't really have the authority to keep them in.
Can they set the bail at $100 million?
Yeah, you can do that. But then there's also you've got to treat people fairly. So the judges really felt like they didn't have the authority to do this. But the problem that's coming up with this constitutional amendment is that the bail bonds people, the businesses, people in business of giving bail, they don't like that second section of the constitutional amendment that says to judges, if it's a nonviolent crime, and there's no reason really to hold this person while the counties are paying $50 to $100 a day to keep someone in who is there because of a traffic ticket that they didn't pay, and they're sitting there in the jails for weeks or months because they can't bail out. I mean, it's crazy.
And the bail bond people say, but what about our business?
Right, absolutely. So this is one of those examples that we talk about sometimes.
But those people don't have business from those guys anyway.
Well, they can get family members to post bail. You know, there'll be small bails, maybe $500 or something. But they feel like it's going to impede their business. But here is public policy being determined by one specific lobbying group. And we don't know if this constitutional amendment is going to pass. Yeah, no.
I'm shocked.
So that now the Senate version of that constitutional amendment has passed with both pieces there. The House version only has the bail bonds people protected, and now they're negotiating to see if we can get something through because we need to resolve this problem.
Yeah.
Another constitutional amendment, hot one, is the early childhood, which would allow more money to come out of the permanent fund, the land grant permanent fund, which has $15 billion in it, to go for early childhood. Essentially, those two are dead. But that's something the public has been very supportive of. And then another one that the public is very concerned about is constitutional amendment to create an ethics commission. And that has passed out of the House and is now in the Senate. So we will see if that actually is going to go on the ballot in the general election.
And that is something that, as you said, the public is very enthusiastic about.
Right, yes. And that would allow a commission to be created that costs money, unfortunately. But if it passes if it passes in November, then the legislature would have to create the rules for how that would work.
Okay. Now, there are bills having to do with outpatient treatment and things like that.
Yeah, this has been a hot issue, and it was a bill that actually passed the Senate last year and died in the House. And it's a bill that a piece of legislation that's passed in many states that gives the courts authority to mandate that someone who has a mental illness, who may be a danger to themselves or others, to mandate that they take certain meds so that they can have their behavior under control. There are civil rights issues. There are health issues. There are families who come in and say, you know, our child is an adult child. We can't help them. They're on the streets. They need medication. And it's a balancing act. But this bill has passed the Senate and is now over in the House that would enable courts to mandate treatment.
That is the I think of all the bills that I've ever seen in New Mexico, that is the one that is so 50-50. I mean,
intelligent,
reasonable people can deeply disagree on that.
Definitely.
Now, there are some opioid issues.
Yes. As people may know, New Mexico is like number two or three in the number of opioid deaths because people get their opioids through prescription, they buy them on the streets, they find them in their family's medicine cabinet, but we have the second or third highest opioid death. So we've been trying to deal with this.
Now, are we talking about, opioid is both heroin and pills?
Yes. But
we're talking here about the pills.
Yeah, we're talking about prescription drugs.
Okay.
And so many states have tried to figure ways to limit access to opioids. And, of course, this has come about because the pharmaceutical companies in the last 10 years have just skyrocketed in the number of opioids they offer and prescribing providers, in order to help people address their pain, have been giving these prescriptions. So we've been doing different things over the last few years to try to help prescribers, physicians, nurse practitioners, to figure out how to make sure that people aren't trying to just get these opioids, sell them on the streets, and that there are drug seekers who go from doctor to doctor, prescriber to prescriber, and get prescriptions, and then they sell them, make a lot of money. And so there are several bills this session, one to require that any prescriber has to check out a person who they're giving a prescription to through a pharmacy monitoring system to see if they're getting prescriptions from other providers. And this is all very complicated, again, because you don't want to limit people who have chronic pain, are never going to get better, need their prescription. You don't want to keep them from getting it. So these are the complicated issues the legislature has to deal with.
And those people have not only sometimes been limited in the drugs they can get, but they've even been persecuted.
Yes.
And the doctors who prescribe for those people in high chronic pain have been persecuted and prosecuted. So that's another complicated issue. And one thing that nobody talks about with that is what's driving the demand. I mean, what are people's lives like that
need these drugs?
That want to be high on pills all the time instead of, like, having a life.
Yeah, right. And, of course, since our behavioral health services are not as good as we'd like them in New Mexico, it's really hard for people to get help. It's really hard to get addiction treatment, and it's hard to get mental health services to address your issues.
Now, I have a note here that there's an update on, is it Uber?
Uber, yes. So Uber and what's the other company? I never remember.
Yeah.
Anyway, the non-cab companies, it's been an issue in this state, and we tried to pass a piece of legislation last year that would create some requirements for them. And so this year a bill has passed the House, but the hot controversial issues are whether the employee of one of these companies is – or if the person who's driving for one of these companies is an employee or a contractor, and what kind of liability insurance should they have. So the Public Regulation Commission, who's supposed to regulate this, has just sort of done, well, go ahead out there and we'll hope for the legislature to resolve this issue. But I'm not sure it's going to be resolved this year because 6 days left and we don't have a bill out of the We have a bill out of the House, but not out of the Senate. And incidentally, only one bill So far, this session has passed both the House and the Senate and been signed by the governor. And that, of course, is the feed bill that funds the legislative session.
Well, there we have it, ladies and gentlemen. Now, is Uber operating all over New Mexico?
Yes, the two companies are both operating in New Mexico, but they're not being regulated by the PRC on all the details of how they should function. And that's why we need the legislation, one way or the other.
So when does the session end?
The 18th at noon, Thursday, this next Thursday at noon.
So will we be seeing you on Friday morning a week from today?
We can, and that would give a just preliminary update, and then of course we could do in a couple weeks when the governor has time to review line item, veto the budget, and veto or sign any of the pieces of legislation that may or may not make it through both chambers.
And we will see. We haven't even talked about driver's licenses. We'll talk about that next week,
and the
too.
Crime bills, yes.
Yeah, the crime bills. Yeah, more to talk about. That's all right. Linda Siegel, thank you for being with us. Linda Siegel is with us every Friday during the legislative session for the legislative update. Muchas gracias.
Thank you.